I believe that God's got something to share with us today. Something I've been meditating upon. You know, spiritual things, sometimes I just kind of share a few things here. Once you asked Jesus to come into your heart, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, any man that's in Christ has become a brand new person, or, you know, the King James says a brand new creature, or the Amplified says a new kind of being. So we've become brand new. Well, you know, I like to laugh, you know, if you were tall before you got saved, you were tall after you got saved. So nothing on this outward, you know, if we were thin or heavy, you still thin or heavy. So nothing changed on our outward appearance, but instantly, the minute we got saved, this inward man changed. And we immediately reestablished our connection, so to speak, with God. And so all of a sudden, he's taken up residence in me. He has come to live in me. And because of that, the scripture says that I can hear him now. I know his voice. It says, his sheep. Well, I'm his sheep. His sheep know his voice. And so the word of God, which is spiritual, now all of a sudden becomes more real to me. I can see things that I didn't see before. I may have read the Bible before I got saved, but a lot of people would say the thing didn't make any sense to me. Well, the minute I got saved, I began to see things. Why? Because I have now a spiritual connection with God through his Spirit, who's taken up residence in me. So isn't it wonderful to know that we're not just walking through life alone trying to figure this thing out? That's the wonderful thing for me, is that, yes, we're in this earth, but God is here to help us and assist us, to lead us and guide us and to help us. And he just didn't say, well, praise the Lord from heaven and you do the best you can. No, he sent us his Spirit to live in us to help us. That's what the scripture said. He sent another helper. He sent his Spirit to help us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to show us what to do when we don't know what to do. And I think this is the wonderful thing that sometimes gets missed. You know, when we were raised, I know I was raised in the Catholic Church, some, you know, various other churches, Baptist, Anglican, Episcopalian, whatever, you know, or nothing, you know. Sometimes being in those churches, it was like being in getting nothing, you know. But not to you know, pick at any particular denomination, but the point I'm making is that when we may not have been taught to understand in our upbringing in church that God came in and is living in us, and he sent his Spirit to help us to live life more abundantly, to live a victorious life, facing all of these problems that we face in life, whatever they may be. God is in me. And that's the thing that I think about a lot, that God lives in me. No matter how, you know, no matter how old you get or how mature you get in the Lord, Brother Hagin used to say it when he was alive, 60-some years in ministry, he'd say, be more God inside-minded. Keep your mind on the fact that, yeah, we have all these things going on around us and we're faced with issues in life, but God's in me. He lives in me. And I can handle this. I can face this problem because he's in me. And he's a good God, and he's never left me, and he's faithful. And he loves me, and he lives in me. And, you know, no matter what, you know, fear can come, all of these emotions can come and hit us, but I have to remember, God's in me. He lives in me. He cares for me. I'm his child. And so that's the thing that is so sometimes overwhelming to me, that God has taken up his residence inside me. And I don't have to handle all of this stuff that the devil throws. Because remember, 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is the God of this world. Adam fell and turned over what God had given him to Satan. And so now he is the God of this world system. Everything that we see here, going around here, going on in life, has been infected and influenced by the devil, has been infected and influenced by evil. Well, you can take one look and you can see that. Stuff is as they say, in the pits. Why is that? It certainly isn't God. God is a good God. John 10:10, he says, the thief comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Why is that? Because he lives in me. He now lives inside me. And so I can live an abundant life. And but now the next question, how do I do that? And that's what I've been sharing some messages on the subject of healing, divine healing. And those messages have been entitled Positioning Yourself to Receive Healing. Well, you know, when you position yourself, the first and main way that you need to position yourself is to ask Jesus to come in you. That's the first place, you know, when we talk about positioning yourself. You know, when we position, you know, I could stand along here and I could say I'm positioned. This is a location now, right? I'm positioned alongside this pulpit. Well, that's one way to use that word in the English language. But then the other way to use that word in the English language is the way you think. It's your opinion. You know, people say, my position is such and such. It's what you believe. So we've not been necessarily talking about it from the position of location. You could. But I'm talking about it from the position of, what do you believe? What do you believe about God as your healer? See, and that can go a lot of different ways, but we need to understand that the scripture says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we've been redeemed from, Galatians 3:13, we've been redeemed by his blood from the curse of the law. And what does that mean? Well, you can go over to Deuteronomy 28 and look at all the blessings and all the curses. It lists them. So we've been redeemed from curses that were under the law for disobedience to God. Well, who took that for us? Jesus did. Jesus took our disobedience, our failure, our sin. He took that. And it says, he bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. So he did all of that for me. So I don't have to beg God to do something he's already done. You know, it'd be like you as a parent and your kids going, please feed me, please feed me. And they look at you and go, what's wrong with you? I'm your parent. I'm feeding you. You're part of me. You're my child. So you don't have to beg God to do something he's already done. What has he done? It says in Isaiah. He became sin for us, and he became sickness for us. All he expects us to do is to do what? Reach out and believe that he did it and accept it. That's all he asks us to do. And this is where we're kind of going today, is on the subject of faith, or our faith for divine healing, is that it's already been purchased. It's already done. You know, you don't have to ask to get out of jail if it's been paid for and you've been exonerated. If you've been freed, and it says that all of those things that were held against you have been eradicated, they've been forgiven, well, then there's no charges against you. Jesus took all of that for you. He took it. And he not only took our sin, but he took our sicknesses. And all he wants us to do is to say, I believe that. I reach out and take it. And so we have to find out how to do that and what to do. But every person, I believe, when there's enough faith, when I talk about enough faith, when faith comes, you just reach out and take it. Like Mark 5 with the woman with the issue of blood, it said she suffered 12 years with an issue of blood and was nothing better, spent all that she had. But it also goes on to say when she heard of Jesus, she went out and pressed through the press and throng of people. And she said, and it says, she kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Well, she believed something she heard. What did she hear? She must have heard, if you go through the accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, it said everyone, they brought the sick and the maimed out of the cities round about where he was, where he would go into certain cities. And you can see that it says everyone that was brought to him, they were healed, all. So she must have heard that everybody that touches him is healed. What did she do? She said, I'm going to get my healing. And yet, in that culture that she lived in, she was considered under the law, under the Mosaic law, she was considered unclean because she was bleeding. She was considered unclean. And so for her to go out in society, she risked possibly being put to death because she was considered unclean. And if she violated that, she could have been taken to task for that and possibly killed or stoned. So that's a, as I call it, that's a big deal for somebody to literally put their life on the line believing something they heard and said, I'm getting my healing. I'm getting that. And so we need to just look at that today a little bit, and I believe we'll get something out of it. I really do. I'm convinced of it. Because the more I meditate on these things, the more real, you know, when you meditate upon the Word of God, which is spiritual, it has an impact on what? Your spirit, and God, who is a spirit, can reveal what? Spiritual things to you, the more you meditate upon them. So let's pray and join our hearts together and believe that we'll see something today and get something that we can understand and do what? Put into practice. Because this principle, not only I'm talking about divine healing, but this principle works for other areas. Your finances, your wisdom that you need, same principle. Father, we thank you this day for this time that we have to meditate and share the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. We thank you that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened and that we are knowing what is the hope of your calling, and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints? And we are knowing what is the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe. And we thank you, Father, for your Spirit who's present here, not only in us, but in this place. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for unfolding and revealing the Word of God to each one of us individually, so that we can know and be better prepared and nurtured in the Word of God, so that we can live a successful and abundant life. And Father, we take the time also to pray for, as we've been instructed, to pray for all men and for those who are in authority. So Father, we lift up all men everywhere. We thank you for laborers going into the harvest, which are white with harvest. Thank you for anointing them to share the good news of the gospel. Anoint us to share our testimony and what a good God we serve. And Father, we lift up those who are in authority. We lift up the President of this United States and his family. Father, we ask that you heal his body. We know it's already healed, but thank you for those that are treating him. Thank you, Father, for protecting him. Thank you for strengthening him. And Father, we lift up the Vice President and his family, and we ask that you supernaturally surround them. And we ask that you lift up the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi. We ask that you protect her and her family. We ask that you protect the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and all of the justices in the Supreme Court, and all of the senators and House of Representatives and congressmen. We thank you for them, Father. We ask that you give them wisdom to make the laws that will cause us to live a quiet and peaceable life. And Father, we come against and we take our spiritual authority in heavenly places in the name of Jesus. And Satan, we address you and we bind you and forbid you to continue in this country and cause strife and turmoil. And we forbid it in the name of Jesus, and we decree that righteousness reigns in this country, and we decree that Jesus is Lord in this United States. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. I've entitled this message today, No Wavering. No Wavering. We're talking about positioning ourselves. We can talk about it being a location, but we can also talk about it being our thinking, our position, when we talk about position, we're talking about our belief. And so when we talk about no wavering, then we need to find out, I wanted to take a look at a few scriptures. This morning, we can look at Hebrews 11:6, and wanted to start by looking at faith here, and then we're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. But let's look at Hebrews 11:6. So when it comes to receiving anything from God, whether it's healing, divine healing, or wisdom, or finances, we need to look at what position we must take or be in. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, and I'm going to look at three different translations actually. But Hebrews 11:6 in the King James, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must do what? Believe." It doesn't say must whine or complain about your problem. It says must believe that he is, and that what? And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I had mentioned this a few lessons ago. When we talk about must do things, there's some things we should do, and then there's some things we must do. And here, this is saying, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and you could also say, must believe that he's a rewarder. You know, both of those have to be equal. You can't believe that he is, and then, well, I'm not so sure he's a rewarder. No, both have to be equal in their strength and their, you know, their position. And so the Passion Translation, it says, without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. Doesn't just say faith in us, it says faith living in us. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into seeking him. I'm going to read one last translation. This is the Message translation. I like this translation. In verse 6, it says, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. So you can't do this apart from faith. You can't please God apart from faith. What pleases God? Faith. And then it goes on. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. That's what I liked about that. It said, he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. So we need to believe that he is, well, God is, so it means something other than that. It means that he is what he says he is. Because God exists in the beginning, God. So when it says we must believe that he is, well, when you came to him and asked him to come into your heart, you had to believe not that he is. You're coming, what would that be? You're coming to someone that isn't. No, he exists, but you came believing that he is the Savior. And I believe that and confess, and I believe that he was raised from the dead. I confess him as my Savior. Well, you know, when we talk about divine healing, we have to come believing that he is my healer. I have to believe that. And he cares enough to respond to me when I come for that. You see. Or in the King James, it says, we have to believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So I have to believe on the basis of what? The Word of God. The Word of God says what? Himself, Matthew 8:17, himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath. What is hath? That means past tense. He's already done it. He hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. 1 Peter 2:24, whose own self bore my sins and his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So he's already done it. So I have to believe that he is my healer and he's a rewarder. He cares enough to respond when I come to him. How am I coming to him? In faith. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. I believe that when I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So I'm coming to God believing that he is my healer. He's already done it. And I receive from you because I believe you want to give it to me. You've already done it. So I reach out and take it by faith. You know, so often we go, well, how do I do that? How do I take something by faith? I'll give you an example. You all work each week, some of you that are still working. You work each week. You don't get your paycheck until you've worked. So you receive that by faith. You go to work, working, expecting to get money, honey. It's not hard. You just believe the employer to do what? Pay you. So how much more should we believe God that has already done it? He's already said it in his word. He said in Psalm 107, I sent my word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. So he's already healed me. I have to do what? Say, thank you, Lord. I believe I've received it. I believe that I'm healed. I'm taking that now. And I do what? I begin to say with my mouth, I believe the healing power of God is at work in my body. I believe it's working now. Well, it doesn't feel like it. It didn't say to believe that he's a rewarder when I feel like it. It said to do things by faith means Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. My faith is the evidence of things not seen. So I have to believe that I receive something from God before I have it. You weren't saved. You didn't say, well, I don't feel saved. You came to God expecting him to do something in your life, and he did. Instantly after I believed in my heart and confessed with my mouth, change happened. And I think so often we're looking for something instant because people are hurting, and they think, well, nothing happened. That's not faith. Faith believes that God heard me when I prayed. What is 1 John 5:14-15? It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we've desired of him. 1 John 5:14-15. So we have to come to God knowing, confident that when I pray, he hears me because I'm asking something of his will. And then I have to believe that to receive it and that he heard me and he's what? He's answered it. So we need to believe since it requires faith, then, as I was saying, faith is the position, or that's what positions us to receive from God, operating in the faith of God. And faith is basically believing and acting on something. That's really what faith is. Faith is not just believing. Faith is believing and acting upon what you believe. That is faith. And that's what happened with the woman with the issue of blood and the centurion and the man who had the palsy. You can go to Luke chapter 5, verse 17 down. It says, the man who was sick with palsy and was born or carried by four, they couldn't get in where Jesus was teaching. So what happened? He said, they went up on the roof, and they tore a hole in the roof and let him down on his bed in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, what did he say? He said, he saw their faith. So faith is believing that God is the healer and that he's going to do something for me when I ask him. And that then I'm doing what? Not just believing that he's going to do something, but receive it and then act in faith. I believe I'm healed. Even though this body might not be functioning properly, it doesn't mean we don't go to doctors and get checkups. I think that's the part that people get in the ditch. Go get your checkup if you need to. Go get the assistance you need to. Also let God direct you as how to do that. But let's turn to James. I wanted to share this here. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And I believe this will help us today. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And when we talk about believing God and receiving, this right here, the connection between believing and receiving something from God is right in this, this passage here. And some lessons that I had shared, I believe, up here recently, maybe it was on the stream because we weren't open until July, but in James, I was sharing the first few verses in James, in verses 2, 3, and 4. If you just read right straight through James chapter 2, 1 and verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers," or, you know, this means trials, various trials. It says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience," or endurance. But then what does it say? "But let patience," or endurance, "have its" what? "Have her perfect work." So when your faith is being tested and tried, it says what? It says here that the trying of your faith works something. It works endurance. It works patience. And then it goes on and it says, "And let patience and endurance have its perfect work." Let it work. This is where we give up. We say, "This is too much for me." This says here, "Let endurance work." Why? So that you can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then what does it go on to say? Then in verse 5, this is where I want to pick up today. It says, "If any of you," so it doesn't say all of you. It says, if some of you lack wisdom on what to do here, when you're being buffeted, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, what are we supposed to do? "Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not," and what? It might be. It says, no, "it shall be given him." Oh, that's wonderful news, isn't it? And then what does it say here? Verse 6, "But let him ask in faith," what? "Nothing wavering." No doubting. No wavering. This is my message today. No wavering. Nothing wavering. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea." What does it say? "Driven with the wind and tossed." Now see, this is when we're talking about being positioned to receive something from God. Look at verse 7. "For let not that man that wavereth," I'm adding that in, "let not that man think that he shall receive anything." Boy, when you say anything, that means not possible. Anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. Boy, this is a powerful, this is very powerful here for me. Got to go back. God is good. He loves me. He lives in me. And if I don't know what to do in a situation, what is he saying here? He said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and things. He said, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to count it all joy, but then what? Then the trying of your faith should do what? Work patience or endurance. Let endurance or patience have its perfect work so that you might be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If any man lacks wisdom, for what? To go through that trial. I don't know what to do here, Lord. I really don't. I just don't know. He said, if you're in that position, when you look at the word lack, what that word means in the Greek, and it probably means almost the same here in English, when you say, if any man lack, lack means something where you're in a deficit. That means I'm without something. I'm without wisdom. I literally don't have God's perspective. I may get man's perspective on how to handle it if they can help you. But I don't need man's perspective. I need supernatural wisdom. I need the wisdom of God on how to walk through this, because when I do, I'm going to come through it. I need God's wisdom. See, I always say this. Man has education. God has wisdom. Nothing wrong with education. We get educated. But I need the wisdom of God on how to use that knowledge. There's a lot of doctors. There's a lot of people out there. There are a lot of politicians that got a lot of knowledge. But they don't have the wisdom of God on how to use that properly. So that what? We can be blessed. So that's why it says, pray for those who are in authority, that they have wisdom to know how to rule properly. Well, it's no different. I can be educated, but I need God's wisdom to know how to face this trial that I'm going through. Whatever that is. Whether it's health, we're talking about healing now, could be finances, could be marriage, could be children, whatever it is, you don't need to try to figure that out. God will give you the wisdom to navigate through and to come out on the other side successful. Because you're his child. So now here, let's look at verse 7. This says here, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So we can see right here a verse of scripture that would disqualify us from receiving anything from the Lord. He said right here, this would, you're not going to get a thing from the Lord. Because you didn't ask in faith. You didn't come believing that he is and that he's a rewarder. You didn't come. So, what would cause us to get in a position to not receive something from God? This is saying here, let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Well, that means right there, you positioned yourself to not receive something from God. We're talking about positioning ourselves to receive healing from God. What would cause us to put ourselves in a position to not receive something from God? That's the question. Well, let's look at verse 6. Let's go backwards here. Let's look at verse 6. What does it say? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. That's how you position yourself to not receive something from God. You didn't come in faith. You wavered. Now, let me ask this question. Because for years, I just didn't take the time to look it up because I didn't. But how many know what they think the word waver means? I thought I did until I looked it up in the Greek. You can look this stuff up online. It's all available. Just look it up online. You can go to BibleStudy.com. You can go to Bible Gateway. You can look at other, you know, things online. But you can look up that Greek word. Wavering, I thought, meant differing between two opinions. You know, we waver, going back and forth. That's not what it means. Because a lot of that's how we use it. You know, if you waver, that means, well, you're vacillating between two opinions. That's what most people think that is. But when you read this word in the Greek, it's diakrino. It means to separate thoroughly. It means to separate oneself in a hostile spirit. It means to withdraw from. It means to oppose. That's not vacillating. It means to oppose, to contend with, to dispute. I'm reading all of the definitions of this. To doubt, to hesitate, to stagger. So when you waver, you're in opposition to something that God has done and promised. So if you're hesitating and you are doubting, you ain't in faith. You don't believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. And this here is talking about wisdom, but it says, if any man lack wisdom, what does it say? Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth, he that opposes, he that does what? He that contends with something. Don't let that man think he's going to get anything from God. You didn't come in faith. You didn't come believing that he is my provider, my healer, and that he wants to. He's there ready to reward me with healing. That's what that means. So that's what puts us in a position to not receive from God anything from God. And that would include divine healing. So when we look at this, I want to keep focusing on verse 6. Let's read it again. But let him do what? Ask. Also that word ask is interesting word. Let me just read this. This came from Rick Renner, who's a Greek, I guess you could call a theologian. And this is from his book, Sparkling Gems. Just basically their daily entries. But he highlights the Greek in each verse. And he said, the word desire, I'm just reading this little paragraph here. It says, the word desire or ask used in other scripture passages is the same Greek word, and then he uses A-I-T-E-O. This word means to be adamant in requesting or demanding assistance to meet tangible needs such as food, shelter, money, wisdom, health, and healing, and so forth. Adamant. That doesn't sound like wavering, does it? It says, but let him ask of God. That means let him come not demanding God, but being adamant. Why? Based on the blood of Jesus. God, you said you are my healer. I believe that. And that you said that I have been healed. I receive that. You said that you would give me wisdom. So here this says, this person, meaning the person that asks, may insist or demand that a certain need be met, but he approaches his superior. We're talking about God now. He approaches his superior with respect and honor as he makes his very strong request. How can I make that strong request? Let me ask the question. Didn't we see through the Bible, Abraham and Lot, what did he say? He said, shall I hide this thing from Abraham? And what did he do? He asked the Lord to do what? To spare Sodom and Gomorrah. Was he strong in his request? Yes, but he was respectful. And so we can be respecting of God, respectful, but strong, saying, Lord, you said this. It's your covenant. So you're not demanding God to do anything. He's already done it. So this word, back to verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, ask or demand strongly in faith, no wavering, no doubting, no hesitating. For he that wavereth, this is the part I want to look at right now. For he that wavereth is what? Is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So now let's think about this a second. A wave is the result of the what? Something you can't see. It's the wind. So this is not saying, let me say it this way. The wave is the result of the wind. The wind could represent your problem, right? The wind could result, it's doing what? It's buffeting you. It's pushing you. And so this says here, for he that wavereth, that means you're hesitating, you're opposing, is like a wave of the sea driven with this sickness or disease and tossed. Everybody understand that? So it says here, when we look at this phrase being driven and tossed, the issue buffets or drives the wave, doesn't it? Just think about other scriptures. I'll just read this in Luke chapter 6 and verse 47. It says, whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, see, talking about approaching God in faith, receiving them and acting on them. He said, whoever comes to me, hears my word and does them, or hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. When you're founded upon the word of God on the rock, wind can come, but it ain't moving you. But when you're in opposition, see, this is what else does it go on and say? But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that, without a foundation, built an house upon the earth against which the stream did vehemently, and it immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So we need to come to God how? In faith, believing, not wavering, not in opposition to what he's promised, not staggering or hesitating. He said it, I believe it. I'm going to believe that above these symptoms. I believe these symptoms have to change. And God, I come to you for wisdom to know how to handle this, how to do this. Show me what I'm supposed to do. And I believe right now I receive the wisdom of God to walk through this challenge. And he will show you. You know, I'm not saying don't go to doctors. I'm not saying that. But he may give you the wisdom to go a particular way. And he may say, don't go to that doctor, go to this doctor. You understand what I'm trying to get at? I need supernatural illumination from heaven to show me how to navigate. He may have the perfect person set aside to walk you through something easily. And that goes no different when it comes to finances. People are faced with issues with finances. How am I going to do this? How am I going to live? How am I going to make ends meet? He will show you, but you've got to come to him and do what? Ask him in faith for the wisdom of God to know how to pay my bills. Lord, I'm doing the best I can. I was thrown into this situation. It wasn't my doing. I don't know how to now go through this. Show me how. And we have to come to him believing that he will and that he'll give it to us. He cares enough. That's what the message said. He cares enough to respond to me when I come to him. How? In faith, not in opposition, not, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. No, you come with a humble heart saying, Lord, you said for me to ask. I'm asking. I believe now I receive it. And now I'm looking for your guidance. It can come a number of ways. You could just be sitting quiet at home and you just see something or it comes to your thinking. Go pick up the phone and call this person. Or somebody can just call you, as they say, out of the blue. It's God supernaturally working for you. We need to remember, I'm his child. He cares for me. He's telling me, when you don't know what to do, come to me and ask for the wisdom of God, and I'll give it to you. Why? So I don't have to try to figure out how to do this thing called life. Because the devil's trying to mess it up and to destroy us. But God is saying, if you'll come to me and get the wisdom of God, I'll show you how to live above the evil that's in the world. That's what he's telling us. And that's hope for us, isn't it? Now, let's take a look at verse 5. We're almost finished here. Let's look at verse 5. What is this saying? And it says, if any of you, what, lack wisdom, let him ask of God. This means to come to him and to strongly ask. Right? Let him ask of God. But now here, isn't this interesting? That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That word upbraideth just means, you know, to revile or to reproach. But what does it go on and say? It says here, and it shall be given him. Well, you know what's interesting here with this verse? You know, sometimes we just read along and we just read it, isn't that nice? Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And that's wonderful, right? But let me just share something here. Let's stop whatever device you're looking on. Look at this here, and let me just read it in the King James. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Stop. Now, let's just put a bracket right here. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Stop. bracket. You know who that's talking about? See, the first part of that scripture is telling us what we're supposed to do. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And now James inserts by the Holy Ghost, he's now talking about God now here. He's saying God's nature is what? That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And then it goes on and it continues the thought, and it shall be given him. Oh my goodness. So here we see that God is a good God. He's a liberal giver. He doesn't bang you up. Why are you coming to me asking me again? You've asked me three times. You messed up three of them. Why are you asking me again? He says, he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So God is a good God, and he's a liberal giver here. And so when we look at this, this is showing you that when it's inserted here, James inserts this by the Holy Ghost, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, this is giving us some information, what? About God. It's telling us his nature. That should give us faith. This is exactly what I'm sure the woman with the issue of blood heard. Oh, if you just come to Jesus, everybody that gets healed, comes to him, gets healed. That was his nature, right? It said virtue flowed out of him. Let me ask this question. If I said to you, hey, if you need a loan, go see Minister Joe. See, I got him up. He's got all the money you need. No, I'm kidding. He's rich. So I'm saying that by faith. By faith. But I'm kidding. I'm just saying, what if I said to you, go see my banker, and I told you, but go in faith, he'll take care of you, right? But what if I added to that something about my banker and said, everybody that goes to him, he'll take care of you. I've called him. He's going to take care of you. What if I just said, go see my banker or this person that takes care of me and he'll help you? Well, you got some information, but what if I added to that and I expanded a little bit and told you about the nature of my banker? That may help a little bit, will it? May help your faith some. So all we're saying here is we don't know why the Holy Ghost had James insert that, but I can tell you, just reading it, if we just said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God and it shall be given. And you go, okay, that's nice. But then when you insert, and giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Oh, now that adds a little bit of a different picture of whom the one I'm going to, doesn't it? A little different. So this is a wonderful thing here, and just think about this in closing here. When we talk about God, James 1:17, what does it say? It says, every good and perfect gift is where? From above. What does it say? And cometh down with from the Father of lights, with whom is what? No variableness, no changing. And what does it say? Neither shadow of turning. No variableness nor shadow of turning. He doesn't change. So when we can look at that scripture, and that's in James, that would just be, we're at verse 8, let's go down to verse 17, and you go down and read it for yourself. So it continues to show us the very nature of God. that he gives to us liberally and upbraids not, but we've got to come to him how? In faith, not wavering, not opposing, not in opposition to what he said, not questioning it. I have to believe that he said it. I believe it. And what does it say? This is the what? The confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, whatsoever I ask, I know I have the petitions that I've desired of him. Why? Because I've come in confidence. I've come in faith. Hallelujah. So I hope this stirs your heart, because whatever you're facing in life, we all face something and we need his wisdom. We need supernatural enlightenment from heaven so we can see and we go, every one of us that face an obstacle, it's like Mark 11:23. It's like a mountain. Right? It's this mountain, this obstacle in front of us that doesn't look like it's going to change. Or it can't change. And so some of us try at first to try to manipulate things that we can do within our own capability. But then when that runs its course, see, and sometimes you getting in the mix of it, you may squirrel it all up. You know what I'm talking about? Mess it all up, because I know what to do. But me personally, I'm getting to the place, rather than leaning to what I think I know on how to figure it out, I'm going to go to God first and ask him for what? Wisdom, supernatural enlightenment from heaven. He may have you do what you know. He may say, you know what to do, go do that. But he may say, do this. And you'll go, oh boy, I'm glad I didn't do what I thought I was going to. I'd have messed it up. And that's all I'm saying, is that whatever we're faced with something in life, go to God first and ask him for wisdom and find out from him, God, I'm coming to you for wisdom to handle this, to walk through this, to know what to do. And I believe that you give it to me liberally, liberally, liberally. And he upbraids not. And it says he shall do it. He'll give it to you. But ask in faith. Don't waver. No wavering. Glory to God. Hope this stirs your heart. It stirs mine, because the more I meditate on it, there's things that you go back and think about. Did you say there's things I've been banging my head trying to figure out and do when I could have gone and asked for wisdom to do it? Because I thought I knew how to do this. I know, because I'm so smart. I know how to figure this out. Right? We all have done that. Amen. Glory to God. I hope you got something. Because this will help us. This is doing what? Positioning us to receive from God. And we're talking about positioning ourselves to receive healing from God. But we're also talking about receiving wisdom of God from God to do what? Know what to do in a health crisis. Know what to do in a financial crisis. Know what to do in a marriage crisis. Know what to do with crisis going on with your children. What do I do? You have a crisis on your job. It affected you. What do I do? I don't know what to do, Lord. They're telling me such and such and such and such. What do I do? It says, ask God for wisdom. So when we receive divine healing, I need to do what? Believe that God is my healer. He's already provided it. I receive it by faith. And then I do what? I act upon it. And I talk like I'm healed, not sick. Why do I talk like I'm healed? Because I am. and I've received healing by faith in my body. Yeah, but you don't look healed. Yeah, but by faith I am. Somebody could say the same thing. You're broke. Yeah, but by faith my bank accounts are full. And God is showing me how to fill them. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you this day for your word. Thank you, Father, for showing us how to live above, to live in this the kingdom principles, the kingdom of God principles that will cause us to literally know what to do when the world doesn't know what to do. We'll know what to do because it'll be easy, because we'll see like you see. We will have the mind of Christ. And so, Father, we thank you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.